Our study tonight is out of Colossians chapter 4, verse 17. Stability in fulfilling God's ministry assignments for us. Today's unsettled and insecure world has tempted and influenced many believers to be unsettled and insecure. Colossians presents Christ's all-sufficiency and supremacy in ways that settle and supply security. And one way it does is by teaching in Colossians 4:17 the believer's stability in fulfilling God's ministry assignments. Various temptations in the forms of a loss of motivation or hardships or frustrations faced in one's service can influence a believer to leave his ministry incomplete. So we view Colossians 4:17 for our edification. I want to read the verse and then we'll look at it. Paul is writing to the church at Colossae and he says, "And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it." Interesting verse. The Apostle Paul directed that the leaders of the church at Colossae tell Archippus to take heed to the ministry he had been assigned in the Lord. And that's a directive with a very important application for us. Take heed translates the present imperative of the verb blepe from blepo. Normally, blepo means to see, but here it means to keep taking care, and keep in the present tense, keep on taking care. This verb is used in Mark chapter 13, verse 33, where the disciples were to watch that they maintain a godly life because of the unknown date of the return of Christ and of their accountability to him. Let me just look at that. Mark chapter 13. Verse 33. Very important to look at the context of a verse so that we can get a feel for it. Mark 13:33. Jesus is saying, take heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. In verse 34, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. Watch you therefore, for you know not when the master of the house comes, at evening or midnight, at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto you, watch. So this is the sense of accountability. Especially in view of the rapture, we believe in the imminency of the rapture. You never know when the rapture is going to occur. So we need to be very accountable. And the implication is that Archippus was responsible to continue to take care of that he function acceptably before the Lord in view of his accounting to the Lord regarding such action at the judgment seat of Christ. I was talking to a Christian today in the worship service, just after the worship service. It amazes me how in the book of Revelation chapter 20, when the dead, this is the unsaved dead, but they stand before the Lord and heaven and earth pass away because there's no more room found in them. But here the dead still have to give an account. The implication is, it's not the heavens and the earth that's the most important thing. It's what people are doing on it. Because God's going to hold people accountable. And right now, the most important thing in God's program is the program of the church. And we're part of that. And he's looking at, what are we doing? So you can't just take the assignment that you've received from the Lord and just slough it off and say, well, I'm kind of tired of doing it, and I think I'll look for something else. You know, we stand before the Lord. The Lord's going to say, you were starting well. Why didn't you finish? You know, you had a job in front of you. So take heed. We've got to watch it because we're going to be held accountable for God. Then Paul noted that Archippus' care was to be exercised relative to the ministry. Diakonion. We get the word deacon from it. And this word diakonia is actually used of a ministry that God assigns believers in 1 Corinthians 12:4, where Paul is talking about the gifts. There are various gifts, various ministrations, and so forth. And one of the things that we are assigned is a diakonia. So I believe not only is the spiritual gift assigned to us, but the ministry in which we use that gift is also an assignment. So Archippus had an accounting to give regarding a specific service that was important to the Lord. We should never take the assignments that we have lightly. I'll never forget years ago, Someone gave a family in our church, I think it was $18, so they could buy some food. And they bought some food with that and put on a Thanksgiving meal for a choir that was visiting. And the choir was from the South, and they weren't expecting real hospitality up here in Yankee Land. When they came up, they were amazed at this meal that had put on. They were looking for pizza or something like that. And here they put on this whole spread of Thanksgiving meal. And it changed their whole view of Northerners. And all of a sudden, they warmed up, and they went really with high motivation and ministered powerfully in other churches, all because somebody had donated 18 bucks. It was amazing. You know, when we get to heaven someday, I think we're going to be amazed at what God has done with our own little five loaves and two fishes, so to speak, in ministry. So it's a ministry, and it's important to the Lord. Then Archippus had received Parlelibus, this ministry, making him doubly accountable to perform it. For Archippus to have received, the Greek word is paralambano, that's the root word, to have received this ministry, a church leader or leaders to whom he was accountable before God. And Hebrews 13:17 says, you know, that we are supposed to obey those leaders who are over us in the Lord. These leaders had assigned the ministry to him, which assignment thus made him obliged to fulfill it, both to the leader and ultimately to the Lord himself. Why? Because leaders are over us in the Lord. The leaders give an account to the Lord. But the Lord has human leaders over us because he wants to work through those human leaders. So there's an accountability to the leaders. There's also an accountability to the Lord who assigned those leaders over us. So it's very, very important. When I became pastor of the church here, I was actually led to come here because according to the church bylaws, there was a pulpit committee that was under the elders of the church that were here at the line at the time. And then the congregation voted unanimously to have me here. This whole thing, our call was laced by leaders. So I'm accountable before the Lord. Those leaders are no longer in the leadership. And, you know, a number of them are not here. One at least has passed on and so forth. But we're responsible. So this was no self-assigned ministry, but one assigned to him by leaders. He was to heed an accountability to Christ. So Archippus was doubly accountable to perform it both as unto the leader or leaders and also as unto Christ. Paul added that Archippus had been assigned this ministry in the Lord, that he was responsible to the one who created him, Psalm 139, and appointed him before creating him to be to the ministry that he was to perform, Jeremiah 1:4-5. God told Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I appointed you a prophet. And it's interesting that the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 1:9 that the ministry that we have was given to us in Christ before the beginning of time. That's way back there. Now, I know in the English text of the King James Version, it doesn't say that in 2 Timothy 1:9, but it says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But I checked the Greek text, it says before the beginning of time. So, you know, before the ages, it was given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. So God created Archippus, he appointed him before creating him to the ministry he was to perform, a ministry that was given him in Christ before the beginning of time. Let Archippus view his functioning in that ministry as a key purpose behind his very existence. The God put us together in the womb of our mothers. He put the DNA together and so forth. Everything he had in mind was focused on the ministry that we're going to have in Christ and how this all works together. So we've got to be really careful. We're accountable to the Lord. And then the Apostle Paul directed that Archippus be told to carry out to the full. That's the Greek word pleroes. It's from the root plerao. His assignment ministry in Christ. And we explain this as implied in the present form of the imperative blepe back in Colossians 4:17a. And its similar use in Mark 13:33 of the need for disciples to remain vigilant in living for and serving Christ in view of his unknown time of return and their accountability to him at that time. Archippus was tempted to cease performing his ministry. Now, we're not told what issue tempted Archippus. But this epistle was applicable to other churches. You notice in verse 16 it says, when this epistle is read among you, cause it that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and likewise also that you read the epistle from Laodicea. So although Paul was directing a man in Colossae, this was a lesson that he wanted the people in the church of Laodicea to hear. That also means that it's a lesson that God wants us to hear today. So, we are not told what issue Archippus faced, but this epistle was applicable to other churches where there might be a host of causes for a lapse in service other than what Archippus faced. So, regardless of the reason for the temptation, Archippus was to minister until his work was completed. I take it also until death do you part kind of a thing. In marriage, you're supposed to serve and minister to one another in marriage until death do you part. I believe the assignment that God has, until that assignment is done, we're supposed to stay at it no matter what. So the lesson is Archippus was directed of the Lord to keep on taking care of the ministry he'd been assigned by duly recognized church leadership, which ministry thus made him accountable before the Lord to perform and for which he would give an account at the judgment seat of Christ. It was to be carried out to the full, regardless what circumstances to the contrary he faced, be it a loss of personal motivation, hardships, frustrations, or anything else. So if we've been assigned a ministry by duly recognized biblical church leadership, may we understand that Christ holds us responsible to fulfill that assignment in view of our accountability to him at the judgment seat of Christ. So may we also realize that God views our origin, the formation in the womb, thus our very existence, as being intricately interwoven with that ministry, a ministry given us in Christ before the beginning of time, that we then fulfill it regardless what contrary issues we face, be it a waning of motivation, hardships, frustrations, etc. May we tell other believers who are tempted to fail to complete God's assigned ministries to realize they will be held accountable at the judgment seat of Christ to have fulfilled their ministries that God has assigned them. The reason I made an entire lesson out of one verse is because this verse hits me right between the eyes. I have a record going back to my days in Bible college, Bible school, of being tempted not to finish an assignment or not to finish a calling or the routine or program of education that I was undergoing at the time. And the Lord in his grace has allowed me to have that opportunity. And this is something that I have seen has been a challenge. And the Lord has allowed me to face a number of challenges since then where the temptation has been to quit. And yet I recognize with what I've been through and the lessons that I've learned that I don't dare do that at this point. At one time, before I had my car accident in 1990, I was actually tempted to quit the church, the current church that I am in now. And I told the Lord, I blurted outside 5 minutes before the accident, Lord, I'm just spinning my wheels here. And I got into the accident and, broke 6 ribs, had a collapsed lung, the other lung was half collapsed, had a perforated leaky spleen, so I had to have emergency surgery and everything. Well, when I was in the hospital, flat on my back, I was visited by a couple of pastors. And they shared with me the enormous impact that the people in our church were having on people in their churches. One of these pastors, I didn't even know. I didn't know his church existed. Yet our people were ministering. And I was really taken back, and I realized I cannot be a judge of my own ministry. I can't even rely upon my own judgment in regards to my ministry. I've got to rely on the Lord. I've got to follow him. And as long as he indicates that I need to stay at the job, I need to do it. Because I don't know enough to say when it's done. That's something that God has to do. So I've learned through this to follow the Lord's leading. And when he indicates that the ministry is done, it will be done. And I remember Dr. Dwight Pentecost at Dallas Seminary, who's now with the Lord, asking him one time if you know, I was facing hardships, and he indicated that I should stay at it, because if you quit just because of hardship, it could be that you're giving in to satanic pressure. And so I asked him, well, Dr. Pentecost, if it's not God's will for me to stay, but I attempt to stay on, will he make that clear? And his answer were, and I'll never forget his words, oh my yes. Oh my yes. In other words, it will be absolutely abundantly clear. The door will close in such a way that you won't know otherwise. But what we need to do is to make our focus, not when is it time to quit, when is this ministry over, but the focus should be, I've got to fulfill this. As long as there's something that needs to be done, I need to go at it. Until the Lord signals otherwise, we need to stay at it. So I hope that this is an encouragement to every Christian who listens to this message, as well as to those who are here. Fulfill God's ministry assignment for you. If it's an assignment from the Lord, fulfill it, and God will bless you.